My dad often reminded us that God's Word brings truth, hope, and light into our lives. As we continue our series on the great I Am statements of Jesus Christ, we turn to His words, "I am the light of the world." May the Lord bless you as you listen.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week rolls by, and here we are. And I just want to thank you for opening your doors and your homes and your places and your cars or wherever you're at, and that we can worship the Lord together. And I pray that if you don't know Jesus personally, that during this service, you'll make that prayer and ask Him into your heart. And our sermons this month is about the great I Ams of Jesus. And today we're going to be talking about I Am the Light of the World. But before I do that, let me just give just a few of the letters. We get so many nice letters, and I'd just like to share some with you. The first one comes from Wallblow, Missouri. And this is a man, and he's writing, and he says, "I listen to you every Sunday, early every Sunday morning. Then I walk to a Baptist church less than one block from where I live. Today is Mother's Day. I am a male. I felt tired and said there was no way I can go to church today. Listening to your prayers and telecast after your program was over, I got right out of bed, just like you healed me, and dressed myself and went to church. I'm 74 years old." And congratulations, dear brother. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to listen to us, but we want you also to go to church. And God tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So go to church, and go to the church where they preach the Bible. They don't all preach the Bible, but many of them do. And but just go where they're going to teach that Bible. It's got to be centered on the Bible. Well, let's see. Here's from Boken Arrow, Oklahoma. And this one writes and says, I have a prayer list, and I want you to pray for my grandchild. And she's in jail now because of drugs. And so we always do pray for these people. And when they write in, and it's so hard, too sad to see them caught up, but that God will help them if they just take the Lord into their life. He'll help them be victorious over any problem they might face, young or old. Here's Casper, Wyoming. I want you all to listen to this one. This is a lady. She says, "I'm 90 years old. I had polio when I was 18 months old. I was paralyzed from the waist down. My parents were wonderful Christians who prayed, and they fasted for my healing. It seemed my dear Lord embraced me as a father would his child and showed me that what his will was for me. I understood and accepted it. It's okay. He promised to always be with me through all my needs, and praise God, he never has failed me. When I was able to stand, I was on crutches, then a walker, then a wheelchair, and now bed rest. God helped me to graduate from high school, get a job, married a Christian man, had a wonderful daughter-in-law, a daughter and son-in-law, and three great-grandchildren. What a great God we serve." And I just said, praise God, here's this dear lady, and she's bedridden, she's got polio, and she asked for healing, and they fasted and all. And God says, no, I'm not going to heal you. And he didn't heal her. And what did she say? It's just like God took me in his arms and he explained it. And he said, that's the way it's going to be. And I said, that's okay. That's what St. Paul did. He had this thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times to God to take it away from him. And God said to him, Paul, don't ask me anymore. I'm not going to heal you. And what did Paul say? Oh, I've preached for you, and I've done all this for you, and now you're going to heal me. That's a fine way to show me. No, Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. Where is it here? It says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, it might depart from me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then Paul says, I rejoice in my infirmities. I take it from the Lord. I don't understand why, but I know he gave it to me, and I know I'm going to use it to his glory. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we have to do. God doesn't always say yes. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. He has his own way. And when let God be God. And when we see him someday, oh, then we'll know. We'll see it was just the right thing. Let's see, I've got time for one more. And it says here, Wichita, Kansas, I so appreciate your ministry and the clear way you present the gospel in every message each week. I try to put your message on my computer to listen that way. I pray for you in the Christian Worship Hour. Thanks again for the biblical encouragement. And so I read that because here's somebody's praying for this ministry, and we just trust that you'll pray for us too and stand by and help us, because that's the secret to it all. And I'm going to give you our mailing address at the close of the service, so you get your pencil and paper ready, and I'll tell you how you can reach us, because maybe you'll want to send us a gift. Maybe you'll want to have our Bible study or something else. So just get that ready, and we'll eventually, if you don't give up, we'll get there to the end of the sermon. But today we're talking about the Jesus, where he said, and the great I Ams of Jesus. There were eight of them. And now today we're going to look at the second I Am. It's given on a special time of life in Israel. And they're all gathered in Israel, and they're gathered in Jerusalem. It takes place in Jerusalem for a feast that's called the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. And this first commemorated the march of the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness desert and to the promised land. And you remember that it was a wilderness journey. It was a desert journey. And the people were fed with manna from heaven from their food supply for 40 years. Their supply never ended or failed. And then they were also given water from the smitten rock. They were given shoes that didn't wear out, 40 years. And then they were also guided by a pillar of cloud that did two things. It gave them shade in the daytime, and when the blazing sun was there, they had shade over the whole entire camp where God was giving them from that wonderful pillar of clouds in the sky. And at night, it gave them light in the night, and they never were in darkness, and it just helped them day and night. That was there at night, there was a light. Now the Jewish people knew all about this history. This was their history. It had been passed down from generation to generation, and they had been meticulous in it, and it was exactly the way God put it and the way God said it. So it was at this feast that all met in the temple court. And the Jewish come from all parts of their little country and to worship the Lord. And they would gather in the court, and this huge court had a candelabra at each end of the court, a big, big candelabra. And it had seven candles. Each had seven candles, 14 candles in all. And each night, a candle on either end of the court would be lighted. And so that the final night, the entire city would be filled with light, and the people would rejoice, and they would sing, and they would celebrate, and they would dance, and there would be music, and they were weak and rejoicing. And that would happen throughout the entire week of tabernacles. And then the week of celebration would end, and the lights would be extinguished. And maybe it was at this time when the lights were blazing and the whole city could be seen. And now the lights are out. And maybe that's when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8, verse 12. That could be translated, I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path. Jesus tells the multitudes that he's the light of the world. And so this day we want to look at this glorious statement where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. The Jewish nation would put the two and two together in a hurry. And the billowy cloud from God and out of heaven that gave light in the wilderness. Now there is another light coming, and it's a light that's coming from heaven. and it is to give light not only to the Jews, but it's going to give light to the Gentiles. It's going to give light to the whole world, and that wonderful light is Jesus Christ. That's exactly what he's teaching. The psalmist said long time ago in Psalm 27, verse 1, he said that the Lord is my light. And Isaiah declared 700 years earlier, the coming age of the kingdom would be a time when the servant of the Lord would be as a light to the Gentiles, that they may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 49, verse 6. But both Isaiah and John declares that the day will come when God himself will be his people's delight. Zechariah depicted the union of light and living waters in Zechariah 14, 5 to 7. There just can be no question about it. Jesus is the light of the world. This wonderful light brings us to salvation. We sing the song, "The whole world was lost in the darkness of night, of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, the glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus." That's a true picture of this world, a world lost in sin and in darkness and in sorrow and in blackness. And Isaiah, the prophet, told us that the light of the world would come first, then to the tribes of Israel. And they picked out two tribes that the light of the world would come to first of all. Isaiah writes, and he says, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Matthew 4, 15 and 16. Now, why did the ancient prophet single out the two tribes, Zebulun and Naphtali? He did that because the two tribes suffered the most from the Assyrians. They were in a place and a people that were degraded by the heathens and they were in constant danger. And they were in such a place because they're on the other side of Jordan. And the first two tribes of all the tribes to fall was Zebulun and Naphtali. And so Isaiah said, and this is the way he put these two little tribes, but it was really all the world. He says, they're living in the land of the shadow of death. They were in the place of greatest danger. These two little tribes are in danger in a place of darkness and degradation. And they were sitting. Do you ever hear sitting ducks? They were just sitting there until someone comes and shoots them. Two tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali were sitting ducks. They were in danger and darkness. And guess what? That's the first place where Jesus want first of all. Go to those in the darkest place of the nation and show them the light, for where the light of the world will shine first. And I'm going to tell you that's a picture of the whole wide world sitting in darkness, sitting in despair, sitting in danger and desolation, sitting. But something happened, something glorious. And this is it. Listen, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. They sat in the land of death, and the light broke through unto them. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you something. That's the very thing that happened to me 88 years ago. I saw the light. I came to Jesus. I received him into my life. And guess what? He took me out of the kingdom of darkness and he placed me in the kingdom of light. And God will do the same for you if you want it. I hope to God you will want it. You come to him and say, "Oh, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to take my sins away and wash my sins away, and I'll follow you and serve you the best way I can. Thank you, Jesus." Isn't that beautiful? And so this wonderful light is Jesus. And the light shines through us then, comes through the darkness, this wonderful Savior. And he said, this wonderful light, and the Lord says, He gives us guidance through life. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Him that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see that? Shall not walk in darkness. We're going to have light. And we're walking. It's a pilgrimage. And we're all on our own pilgrimage through this world and through this life. We're in the wilderness wanderings and we need a guide. We're out on the sea of life and we need a pilot. And that pilot and that guide is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We live in a dark, dark world and we need guiding light in the darkness. And we need a beacon light to show and keep us from shipwreck. The cloud led the way all the way and no questions were asked. And when that cloud came, the children of Israel, and now they're going into the wilderness and they're going from Egypt and they're going to the promised land. And it's a long old trip. And when that cloud gathered itself from the tabernacle, it always stopped over the little, over this, this little tabernacle that they had built, that they had made. It stopped at the tabernacle and the children of Israel all around that tabernacle. And that light would, and that cloud would be there by day, and that light by night. And they stayed right there. But as soon as that light moved, and that cloud moved, those people went with them. They didn't ask any questions. They followed the light. There was no question to ask. There were no doubts. They trusted their God, and they trusted that great fiery cloud to lead them. And that's exactly where you and I are today, dear friends. We give the gods to lead us, the wonderful light of the world, Jesus, and wherever he leads us, we follow, and we don't ask questions. And sometimes we don't move until he moves, and we don't go in our life until he moves us. And but him there's all the time. And I'm 98 years old, and all through those years, 88 years, the light of the world is Jesus, and he's led me all the way. And I haven't always been faithful, and I haven't always been as loyal as I should have been, but he never gave up on me, and they led me all the way. And so the children of Israel, it might be in a place it was they didn't like. It may have to stop at Marah, M-A-R-A-H, and they didn't have any wells, and they didn't have any springs, and they didn't have any shelter. They didn't have any palm trees. They had to stay at Marah till the cloud moved. Or maybe they went to Elim, E-L-I-M, and there were wells of water, and there were palm trees, and everything was delightful. And they would stay there, and they would stay there just as long as God led them there and kept them there. And when the cloud moved, they moved along with it. And so, my dear friends, it's a picture of how we need to follow Jesus Christ, and we need to do this. When we have a walk with the Lord, we find joy and peace. And like the psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and he will lead us to nowhere. Wherever he leads, there'll be joy and there'll be happiness. We have peace at heart with the Savior when we walk with the Lord and talk with him and trust in him. We have companionship and fellowship day by day. And as we walk the pilgrim pathway, I'm going to tell you, friend, as we walk that path, it only grows sweeter day by day. And I've told us 1,000 times over, I guess, if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you'd be happy to walk with him and talk with him and have fellowship with him. And wherever it is, maybe in the night you can't sleep, and maybe there's been some troubling times, and you can't go to sleep and say, dear Jesus, just take me in your arms now. And I know you're there. And I know you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. And you'll always keep your word. And so, dear Jesus, I just rest in you and put all my weight on you. You can do that. And there he'll be, see. We may have companionships and fellowships day by day. And we may walk with some and they will forsake us and may let us down. I know it's happened to me, but Jesus Christ will never let us down. And so just remember this wherever you are. Maybe you're in the office. Maybe you're at home. Maybe you're at school. Maybe you're a shut-in. Wherever you go, you can revel and rejoice in the fact that that great cloud of light that great cloud is there with us, Jesus Christ, who is a person, and he's always by our side and will never leave us or forsake us. We follow him, the great Christ, the light of the world, because he gives us strength from day to day, strength to carry on. Some of God's children are called upon to walk through hard places, to deep waters and dark valleys. They're asked, called upon to suffer for the Lord. I think of that persecuted church, though our brothers and sisters in Christ in so many parts of this evil world who are giving their life and giving their home and giving all they have to Jesus. And they're going through the valley and they're going through the flood and they're going through the fire. But God, Jesus Christ, is with them every step of the way. When the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace, lo and behold, they looked and there were four. And it was Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate form. He was with them. He's always with us. And so when we walk with Jesus, he lightens the load and he gives us added strength that we didn't have. And we're going to have to go to do some battles, and he helps us and he encourages us and he blesses us as we travel. The companionship of Jesus, the light of the world, gives us hope for tomorrow. And we know that he'll be there. And I just thank God as I get close to the end of life, I know he's there with me and he's going to carry me through and help me through, and I can lean on him and trust in him, that wonderful Savior. Perhaps you live today in hard circumstances. You're having a hard time, but take heart, for when you belong to the Savior, he will lead you out. If the Savior led you into the present situation, like the children of Israel, he will lead you out of that situation into the promised land. The sun won't always be blotted out by the storms and the clouds. The sun of righteousness is going to break through all of a sudden in the darkness of this world. And there we will have days of gladness and joy and happiness. But there may be troubles and trials, but the Lord always there. And so the fiery, billowy cloud of Israel led Israel all the way through the wilderness, all the way until it finally came to the end, and that light leads them to heaven and to home. That wonderful Savior, the light casts us our pathway, and he takes us, and St. John says, when we get to heaven, the light will be there. The sun and the moon and the stars will be put away as a woman puts away an old worn-out candlestick. And the light of heaven will be the Son of God. It is the light of the world. Only now the world is no more. It's gone. Jesus becomes the light of heaven and the light of the world. Oh, how we rejoice in such a great and a wonderful Savior. Listen to St. John's account. He says, tells us in Revelation 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and his Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which were saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of this earth will come. And he closes by saying, and there shall in no wise enter into it any thing that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Friend, is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? You know, he says, I don't know. And you might say, I know it is. And how do I get my name in that book? I'll tell you how. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord. And Jesus told us this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Now you've heard it the best way I know how to preach it. He that heareth the word, my word, and believeth, and you can believe, you believe what I've taught you, hath, right now, has eternal life, and your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And then Jesus isn't done. It's John 5:24. Read it when I get done. And he doesn't close, but he says, I say unto you, you believeth me, I'll give eternal life, and you shall never perish. And neither shall you ever come into condemnation. You won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life, everlasting life. You make that prayer, dear Jesus, just come into my heart, take away my sins. I'll turn from my sin the best I can, and I'll follow you and thank you, Jesus. And if you do that, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we need to have you to help us. You need to send us a gift if God lays it on your heart. And if you have accepted the Lord and you want literature, you write to us and we'll help you. We have a little Bible study we'll send. We have a wonderful film we'll send. And we do that because we love you and we're preaching that wonderful gospel. And we want to see you in heaven, but you have to have Jesus. Chris, I'm going to give it again to those on shortwave. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Now let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for being with us. We thank you and we pray especially for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, in that where they are suffering to their even under death. Help them to know that we pray for them and that you will watch over them and that you'll bring them home at their own time. Be with those on beds of sickness, Lord, and be those who are weary and those who want and need to have help. Bless in each one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we have to hear from you, have to have your help if we're going to carry on. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, so every penny is accounted for. And here it is for all of our people. We read 95% of the world on shortwave radio. It's Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And always remember that God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. All of these people who work with us, and we're doing that because we love you. And I love you. I want to see you in heaven. I want to talk to you. I want to see what you look like. I want to just see about how where you lived and how you came to know Jesus. And I've been preaching now 75 years. And it's because I love your soul and I want to see you in heaven. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. Next week, we're going to take another I Am. God bless you in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.